Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Madonna Benjamin, an associate professor, swine extension veterinarian with Michigan State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Benjamin.
It's an honor, Bruce. Thank you very much.
As part of Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2021, set for November 16th and 17th via Zoom, you'll be discussing the topic identifying sick or at-risk pigs. First of all, what illnesses or conditions are we primarily talking about? What are the potential consequences? And what are the challenges in terms of identifying these pigs?
As far as the actual illnesses, it depends. Viruses or the response to virus can change. With influenza virus, we expect to have animals that have malaise or they'll huddle. We might see long hair of their coat. And we might see a little bit of mucoid material from the snout. Once in a while, we might hear a cough. So that's influenza. PRRS is different. It depends on the strain of the virus. We may see animals that are dying. We may see blue ears. We may see diarrhea or abortion. So there's a myriad of responses of the compromised pig. But in general, the compromised pig is an animal that is just not able to eat enough food, has difficulty thermoregulating because of its illness, and perhaps isn't even drinking because it's difficult to get up or difficult to compete with its pen mates. And we became interested in this from a number of perspectives. One is it was introduced, the concept of the compromised pig was introduced by Suzanne Millman, I'd say about 10 years ago. And she started her research on that and what she calls sickness behavior. And just how is a pig going to respond when it's sick? For example, with a fever or abdominal pain. The other reason we were interested is that the stock person or the producer is busy. They're walking past and the pigs in the pen, but they've got to fix the feeder. They've got to, move feed. They've got to fix the floor. They've got to check something else, or they're moving pigs. And oftentimes that compromised animal, the one that's not near the front or the one that's not chewing on their boots or their coveralls when they get into the pen, is really the one that needs the most attention. And there was a work conducted out of Europe, and it's called a qualitative behavioral assessment. And the reason why it's called qualitative is that it's not specific, but what they demonstrated is that with a little bit of training, in spite of your experience in livestock or swine production, beef production, etc., or even no experience, they saw that people could identify sickness behavior. And once they saw all the animals that looked normal, they could identify what was not normal. And when I share my theory on identifying compromised pigs, it's kind of a cookie monster approach. Which one thing doesn't look like the other? And identifying that animal that perhaps is still in the corner, doesn't want to move, is lying in sternal recumbency, has the hair coat that's standing straight on end. Maybe it's piling on top of other pigs or trying to pile up on other pigs, or maybe there's other clinical indications such as low body condition. Can we see the spinal cord on this pig because it's been losing weight? Or is there a blue tint around the ears because the blood flow is not getting to the area? Or is there necrosis on the tail? So these are indicators that just don't look right in a normal, healthy pig. And we we thought about that. And the other area that we were interested in something that was systematic. And in the United States in particular, there's a lot of fair livestock or fair shows or livestock shows. And one of them is the poultry or the fair chicken. And for the fair chickens, what they do is they systematically review the chicken for its healthiness. And they'll start perhaps at the eyes or start at the beak, go to the eyes, towards the comb, over the back, and completely around the chicken. And what we found is that if we look at the pig in a systematic way, perhaps starting at the nose, going over the eyes, the ears, the back, looking past the tail, around the tail for diarrhea, coming down around the legs and the belly, that all of that can be done for about 2 seconds per pig. And that's looking directly at the pig. I mean, that's not even including our ability to have peripheral vision and perhaps spot that pig, learning to spot that pig. And we've trained, not only have we trained stock persons in their confidence of actually shouting out, well, that pig's sick or that pig's sick, with just a few slides and using a systematic approach, we've also trained persons who are non-pig persons, in particular accredited veterinarians in the U.S., could have almost no experience with swine, but they're accredited to provide health affidavits, for example. So we've been able to train that group so that they too were then able to shout out, well, that's the sick pig, that one in the corner, or the one that you've got your mouse on, for example. So we know that it can be done. We know that it can increase the detection opportunities. We know that it doesn't take a lot of time. And the consequences of not identifying, for example, we have a foreign animal disease project that we're putting together for incorporating identification of foreign animal disease by our field partners. So our field partners in the swine industry would include transporters. It would include processors, small processors, and veterinarians, producers, veterinary students. And they're all important in early detection of a foreign animal disease, such as African swine fever. So by using the best approach, we can then have people looking at the pig systematically as they're getting on the truck or getting off the truck from their vantage view. And you can imagine a transporter is going to primarily either see the pigs coming or going, so see the front or the back, or if there's, depending on their position, they might see the pig from the top down. And whereas the butcher is going to see those pigs when they're in the lairage area, and then after they've been stunned and killed, they'll see them, as far as any lesions on the body, et cetera. So we can incorporate people to become an early warning system. Also, if we're not identifying animals early, we reduce the likelihood of recovery because then the animal may become chronic. We can implement by identifying the animal, we can identify what percentage of the animals are affected. And we may decide that we're going to use, for example, if it's less than 2%, we might say, well, we'll use an injectable antibiotic for the affected pigs. And if it's whatever rule of thumb that the veterinarian or the producer decides on, if it's more than that, maybe more than 5% or whatever they decide, they can decide to use more blanket coverage to treat the entire pen because at that rate, they think that that the bacteria might be spreading throughout the pen. So that's a opportunity, it's a timeliness. Also part of the PQA that's in the United States and our CQA programs is that we promise consumers that the animal's welfare and that we will recognize sick pigs, that we will treat them as quickly as possible. And if that animal doesn't have an opportunity for recovery, that we will operate from a position of timely euthanasia as well. So these are the opportunities for early detection. As far as challenges, it's getting into the pen. The challenge would be getting into the pen or getting people to systematically look at the animals. The person who's responsible for doing that, systematically looking at the animals and deciding, you know, what's going to be done. When we get busy, we tend not to look at animals systematically, or, you know, one at a time systematically. We just keep going. So there's, you know, we think that there's an opportunity to increase treatment of animals, an opportunity for response of treatment of animals, and therefore a better return to investment.
In terms of making these assessments, what are the triggers or the signs to be watching for, and how would you go over the animal in terms of detecting those signs?
Yeah, that's a very good question. So one of the things that we would recommend, if it's at all possible, is to observe the animals before they know that you're there, because most pigs have a flight zone, and they'll start moving around or they'll move away. This way you can see if they're lying comfortably. You can see what position that they're lying in. If they're lying in sternal recumbency, meaning directly on their chest and their belly, they may be cold or having difficulty thermoregulating. Or if they're, you know, laying flat out. You could also watch them for whether or not there's animals at the feeder. You get a sense of how many animals will be eating at one time and what percentage will be lying down. So if you're able to observe them before actually their awareness of you, you're able to see that perhaps 70% of them are lying down and quite comfortable. And, you know, another 30% or 20% are at the feeder, another 10% are at the waterer. That's what you would like to see. If you see a high percentage at the feeder, you would wonder, you know, are they out of feed, or high percentage hanging around the water drinker? Maybe someone forgot to turn the water drinker back on after it was repaired. So these are quick observations. And then once you get into the pen, or even standing at the front of the pen, you can look for natural attentiveness or behavior, their temperament, as we refer to it. You know, we can expect that they'll move away from you initially, but then because of curiosity, they'll come back and maybe start chewing on your boot or even biting. Some breeds bite and start biting, and they're curious. But then that gives you an opportunity to look around the side of the pen or look at the pig that's not demonstrating curiosity. And does that pig have its head down? That's one of the indications. Is it, what is its overall posture? If its belly is tucked up and its spine is raised, you know, is it experiencing abdominal pain? Is it toe tapping, meaning that it's hesitant to put pressure on the foot or the leg because there's lameness? And then looking at the eyes, looking for any purulent material, the ears, looking to see if there's any discoloration due to mites or septicemia, over the back to look at the body condition, looking around the tail to see if there's necrosis, and also any staining due to diarrhea, the legs for any lesions, the belly for lesions, and then back up to the head again. And all of that can, as I mentioned earlier, can be done in 2 seconds. It's a training of the eye, and it's a recognition. And that's the way our brain can work as well. Also, if the animal is cold, the hair on the back will, the hair will be standing up, and that's another indication of a compromised animal.
What are the benefits of early identification of these sick or at-risk pigs?
Well, if we can identify them early, we can treat them early, and we can treat them while the, when I think about treating, I think about antimicrobials for a bacterial infection. We can treat them early, and we're likely to have a better response. We can also see if there's a change, you know, has the animal improved or has it not improved by doing it in a systematic way.
How can anyone interested get more information on this technique?
Well, we will be presenting this information at the SASPORC conference. And also, if someone would like a copy of the work that we've done with the illustrations, I'd be happy to share it with them. They would send an email to GEMUS, G-E-M as in Mary, U-S, at MSU, which stands for Michigan State University, .edu.
And is there anything you would like to add?
No, I'm looking forward to input from producers. This session is a stock person session. And I'm looking forward to input and determining the training or the kind of response or shout out that we get from the stock persons.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our guest has been Dr. Madonna Benjamin, an associate professor, swine extension veterinarian with Michigan State University's College of Veterinary Medicine. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.